Would you pray with me this evening? Father God, we have gathered around tables this evening and enjoyed times of fellowship, caught up on each other's days, maybe not unlike the disciples before us on that evening. We pray, God, and invite your Holy Spirit to come with us now as we come to a time of worship. We pray, God, as we think about ourselves as disciples, that might we ask the question, is it I? As disciples, that we might look at the command that you gave after washing the disciples' feet that evening and experienced a time together, but a time where you asked them to love one another and to love others into the world. We pray, God, as we approach this evening, as we have many Maundy Thursdays before, that this will be in a fresh an awareness of this evening, and a specialness and a closeness with you. In your name we pray, amen.
We welcome you to worship on this Maundy Thursday evening. Throughout Holy Week, we have been following the journey of Jesus in Jerusalem during his last earthly week of ministry. We come to this night when Jesus gave us a new command that we would love one another as he has loved us, that we would also love one another. We come to this night when he gathered with his disciples around the table to institute an ordinance that we continue to observe this day that we know as the Lord's Supper, the Last Supper. At the conclusion of the service this evening, or as the conclusion, you will have an opportunity, as is our custom, to come forward to one of the stations and to receive the bread and to receive the cup. When that time in the service comes, we would ask that you would come from the organ side and then go back to your seat. But you will have an opportunity to select one of the stations and to come. Holy Week has with it a holy weekend, which we continue to celebrate with services. Tomorrow at 12 noon here in the sanctuary will be a Good Friday service, which we will have in conjunction with First United Methodist Church. Following that service here at 12, about a 25-minute service, we will go to the fellowship hall for a meal. Easter Sunday morning, our sunrise service is here on this campus at 7 o'clock in the green space between our buildings. A breakfast will be served after that, and then our early worship at 8:30, Sunday school at 9:45, and our traditional service at 11 o'clock here in the sanctuary. We hope and pray that God would speak to us in new and refreshing ways as we focus upon what he has done and what he continues to do for us. We're just so delighted that you are here tonight. If you are a guest, a visitor, we especially welcome you. If it's the first time you've been with us, we hope it will not be the last time. May God be with us this evening as we, like his followers of long ago, gather around the table to remember his supper.
We do continue our journey towards the cross tonight as we enter into the final days of Jesus' earthly life. We'll invite you now to join your voices as we sing hymn number 186, When I Survey the Wondrous Cross. We'll ask that the congregation sing the first, second, and fourth stanzas, and that the women alone would sing the third stanza. Will you please stand as we sing?
Thank you.
reading excerpts from the 13th chapter of the fourth gospel, the Gospel of John. Now, before the festival of the Passover, Jesus knew that his hour had come to depart from this world and to go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them till the very end. The devil had already put it into the heart of Judas, son of Simon Iscariot, to betray him. And during supper, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he had come from God and was going to God, got up from the table, took off his outer robe, and tied a towel around himself. Then he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel that was tied around him. After he had washed their feet, had put on his robe, and had returned to the table, he said to them, "Do you know what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for that is what I am. So if I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have set you an example that you should do as I have done to you. Very truly, I tell you, servants are not greater than their master, nor are messengers greater than the one who sent them." After saying this, Jesus was troubled in spirit. And then he declared, Very truly, I tell you, one of you will betray me. The disciples looked at one another, uncertain of whom he was speaking. One of his disciples, the one whom Jesus loved, was reclining next to him. Simon Peter therefore motioned to him to ask Jesus of whom he was speaking. So while reclining next to Jesus, he asked him, Lord, who is it?" Jesus answered, "It is the one to whom I give this piece of bread when I have dipped it in the dish." So when he had dipped the piece of bread, he gave it to Judas, son of Simon Iscariot. After he received the piece of bread, Satan entered into him. Jesus said to him, "Do quickly what you are going to do." Now no one at the table knew why he had said this to him. Some thought that because Judas had the common purse, Jesus was telling him, "Buy what we need for the festival," or that he should give something to the poor. So after receiving the piece of bread, he immediately went out, and it was night. When he had gone out, Jesus said, "Now the Son of Man has been glorified, and God has been glorified in him. If God has been glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself and will glorify him at once. Little children, I am with you only a little longer. You will look for me. And as I said to the Jews, so now I say to you, where I am going, you cannot come. But I give you a new commandment, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also should love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." This is the word of the Lord.
As part of our worship this Maundy Thursday evening, we are reenacting a portion of the Last Supper in a new manner, a manner that's reflective of the days in which we live. Would the disciples please come up now and take your places around the table? Our table looks just a bit different than the table did in the upper room where the Last Supper was held. Here we have both men and women of all ages sitting around the table to depict how we all are called to be disciples. Scripture tells us there is neither Jew nor Greek, There is neither slave nor free. There is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. During our service tonight, we will hear from three of the disciples who were there that night: Simon called Peter, his brother Andrew, and Matthew, the former tax collector. The Passover meal was a wonderful celebration of remembrance for the Hebrews. And as the disciples gathered around the table to remember the story of deliverance, they must have been quite surprised when Jesus, the one that they had faithfully followed all over Judea, told them that one of them, one of the 12, would betray him. Andrew, known best as Simon Peter's brother, spent most of his time bringing people to Jesus, introducing people to Jesus. He really loved the Lord, yet he must have asked,
"Is it I? I'm Andrew, known to many as the friendly fisherman. What a happy day it was for me when such an ordinary person, easygoing, with limited gifts and talents, was chosen as one of Jesus' disciples. I was so excited that I ran as fast as I could to my brother, Simon Peter, and I told him that I had found the Messiah. I believed it then, and I believe it now. Jesus asked my brother to follow him as well. I also brought the Greeks to Jesus, and I brought the boy with the 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish to Jesus when he fed the 5,000. It seemed like the thing to do, bringing all kinds of people to Jesus. And now Jesus had told us, one of us would betray him. How could it possibly be? Could it be I, Lord? Is it I?"
Thank you.
Throughout history, tax collectors have been the object of scorn and derision. They're seldom liked. The first century tax collectors in Judea were Jews who had collaborated with the Romans to line their own pockets as they did the bidding of the Roman eagle. The disciple Matthew was such a man. Think what it must have been like to be changed as Matthew was changed. This vilest of offenders had become a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's now hear Matthew's response to Jesus' announcement that he would be betrayed.
I'm Matthew, the tax collector. My life is proof that Christ can turn a hated man into a blessed gift of God, because my life has changed completely from my fellowship with Jesus. Can you imagine what it was like to have the Christ walk into my place of business when I was collecting taxes and say, "Follow me"? I was shocked, and so was everyone else that I knew. I served a meal to Jesus in my home, even though the Pharisees complained about him eating with publicans and sinners. Jesus said to them, "Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick most certainly do, for I came not to call the righteous, but sinners." That was music to my ears. I have listened to and loved this man since I was chosen to be one of his beloved followers. And I can scarcely believe that any of us is wicked enough to betray this good man. But who could it be? Master, is it I?
Simon Peter, we know, type A personality. He didn't walk into rooms, he took over rooms. But like the other disciples, he's struggling with Jesus' announcement of betrayal. What can he, an acknowledged leader of the disciples, say that will convince everyone sitting around the table that he, of all people, would never, under any circumstances, betray or abandon his Lord? His words are full of emotion.
I will never deny you, Lord.
Oh, yes, you will, says Jesus. Tonight, before the rooster crows twice, you, Simon, will deny me three times.
Oh, no, Lord. Even if I must die with you, I will not deny you. I'm Peter, Simon Peter. Andrew is my brother, and I'm a fisherman by trade. My family has done well through hard work and the bounty of the sea. I became a disciple with Andrew when the master called to us and said, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." I used to be quick-tempered and impulsive, but after getting to know Jesus, I've learned to become more tolerant. It was me who Jesus said, "Let down your nets into the deep and make a catch." And I witnessed the miracle of catching so many fish that we had to ask others to help. I confess Jesus as the Christ, the Son of the living God. After that, he called me the Rock and said that upon this, I will build my church. Could it be I who will betray my Lord tonight? Is it I? How could I, knowing as much as I love him? Is it I? Surely not.
What do you think it was like to sit, to eat with our Lord that night? What do you envision when the biblical narratives depict the Last Supper? Some pieces of artwork, like Da Vinci's The Last Supper scene, have almost become real pictures to us, wordless images that come alive. The great painter changed our image of this solemn night by grouping the disciples in sets of three. He based his picture on the moment that Jesus announced that he would be betrayed. We're told that Da Vinci tried to capture the four different emotions exhibited by the disciples, emotions that we might feel ourselves if Jesus told us that one of us sitting here in this very room this evening would be the betrayer. We might speculate on what those emotions were. Perhaps denial, fear coming from danger, disbelief, confusion. Four separate reactions mirror the responses of all humanity when we are faced by his announcement of our betrayal. Which emotion would have characterized you if you had been in the upper room at that moment when Jesus said, "One of you will betray me"? Yet we must acknowledge this evening that this artwork of Da Vinci's doesn't focus on humanity and our reaction to the Savior so much as it focuses upon Jesus. Jesus is the center of the picture. He already knows who his betrayer will be, and yet he faces toward us as if you and I are part of the picture too, as if we are living the Last Supper even today. In the portrait, Jesus' eyes are lowered to the meal that he has set before us, serving even those who betray him. His hands are spread in invitation. despite the knowledge that he will eat with sinners who some do not understand what he offers and who will later reject and betray him too. And yet his hands are spread out in invitation, despite the fact that those hands will soon be spread upon the cross. We see, especially in John's gospel, that Jesus is in control. The disciples are focused on who the betrayer is, but Jesus, the Redeemer, is focused on redemption. This very Jesus continues to call even the likes of us to his table. His hands, scarred though they will become, remain open to receive us, those who would remember the greatest act of love the world has ever, ever known. And though it's true that by our sin we still fall short, we still betray and deny, yet does he love us. And by our faith in him, there is a place for us and for all who believe at this table of love. Tonight you are invited to come to the table. Though all of us in our own respective ways have betrayed him, though all of us have sinned and fallen far, far short, we are still invited to come to the table to remember that he died for our sin, that his body was broken, that his blood was shed. And every time we partake of the meal, we remember his love. So this evening, come. Come to the table. Come and remember.